Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. All right, the Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now this proverb is an admonition to a farmer to work his field and to work his vineyard. By sleeping too much, he has neglected his field and vineyard. It is grown over with thorns and with nettles. The thorns and the nettles suck nutrients and moisture out of the soil and shade the crop, making it impossible to tend and harvest. And then the wall fell down. So now the beasts of the field can get in and trample the crop and eat the produce. So what happens? The man has a total crop failure. And as a result, poverty. He has want like a hobo, and want like a thief that uses a gun to get what he needs. That's the picture here. That's the proverb. You let a little sleep creep into your life where you need to be vigilant and need to be up doing your business, and you know what's going to happen? Your business is going to be neglected, and the next thing you know, you'll be bankrupt. But we don't want to talk about that today. I mean, that's the practical application, and it's the obvious application of the proverb. What we want to talk about is the spiritual application, because this proverb is an excellent picture of Christians and churches today. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, we read about Laodicea. You know, it's that whole little passage right there around that verse. And Laodicea is the last church to get a letter. Six churches have already had their letters, and now the church of the Laodiceans is getting their letter. Starts in verse 14. And if you take what God said to each of those churches, beginning with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea, and then you look at the events that have happened historically in the church age, each one of the letters addressed to each one of those churches is a picture of what's gone on since Jesus Christ left the earth until now, about the time that Jesus Christ is getting ready to return. Although the churches are literal churches in the tribulation, they picture the condition of the history of the church from the last 2,000 years. And in Laodicea, we find the condition of the church today. The church today says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord says, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Poor. This church looks wealthy. As a matter of fact, the church is wealthy, rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. But the Lord says, you're poor. All right, now here's the deal. The church doesn't know that it's poor, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, it looks rich, and it is increased with goods, but no matter what it may look like to your eyes, this church is the Laodicean church. It is poor, literally, in God's eyes, and God knows. So what happened to the church? What happened to these Christians? What's going on in the church age today? How can this particular proverb be applied to us today? What can we get from it that is a good admonition and a good warning against the road that we're heading on right now? Well, I'll tell you what it is. There's about five things you can see here. The first one is, this old fella began to see a decline in his harvest because he got lazy. He was slothful. I went by the field of the slothful, Solomon said. Now, many times you're going to find Solomon writing about the slothful. That's one of his favorite topics throughout the Proverbs, and several of the Proverbs deal with this topic. So by going back through and looking at some of what Solomon has already said, we can find out real quickly how to make application to the lazy church today, the slothful church today. And the first thing we find in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, is that the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful shall be under tribute. You say, well, what application do we make there? Well, it's obvious, very obvious. The church quit serving God and started serving mammon instead of God. And when you serve mammon, you become a servant of the money. And many of these churches today and many of these Christians today who are increased with goods have done so by borrowing money or by simply making themselves indebted to the money, whether they're literally in debt or not. And now they're under tribute. The money has to keep coming in. If it doesn't come in, the bills can't get paid. You'll notice this time of year, radio, television, even in your churches, that people start asking for money because it's the end of the year and they know that the year-end tax deductions are being considered. The year-end charitable contributions that can be tax deductible are being considered. And so what's going on? They're begging for money. Why? Because they need it. Invariably, if they'll tell you about their financial condition, they'll tell you, we're $200,000 or $300,000 short or more. That is being under tribute. There is a bondage there because now the churches and Christians are serving mammon instead of serving God. You know, when you read through that Bible, you rarely ever see a situation where anybody ever has to ask anybody for money. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of one instance there concerning Elisha. There was a widow woman who had some sons, and they were going to be picked up and sold by the creditor because her husband had left her in debt. So she went to Elisha and said, what do I do? He said, well, what do you got? She said, I've got a cruse of oil. He said, all right, then go borrow all the vessels that you can borrow and pour that cruse of oil into those vessels. And so she did. She got a lot of vessels and she started pouring that cruse of oil. Well, miraculously, it kept producing oil until she filled every vessel that she had borrowed. And if she had borrowed more, she could have filled more, but she finally filled up all that she had. So she went to Elisha. She said, what do I do now? He said, all right, then sell what you need in order to pay your debt and live of the rest. So I guess you could say in essence that she had asked, but she didn't have to ask for money. God provided. Now, how is it that all through Paul's ministry, he didn't have to beg for money? As a matter of fact, he said, when I get there, you make sure that they're not picking up the money. You have your collections before I get there. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about what I'm doing there. That's how careful Paul was. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, freely you have received, freely give. He didn't want them asking for money, so he, you know what he did? He just said, look, you'll receive some, but don't you ask for it. No need to ask for it. And then he gave them some instruction about having a little extra by the time he was getting ready to leave this earth, but he didn't tell them to go ask people for it. In the prayer promises, he said, asking you shall receive, but he's talking about asking God, not asking the banker, not asking the people, not forcing them to make pledge cards and things like that. So what's happened is men have quit serving God and started serving mammon, and now they're under tribute. All right, look in Proverbs chapter 19 at verse 24. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 24. Here's another problem. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. You say, oh boy, what's the picture there? Quit feeding. That lazy man won't take his hand and take it out of his breast and put it to his mouth so he can get something to eat. You know what that is? What that is, that's a bunch of lazy Christians who will not feed on the Word of God on their own. You won't go home. You won't get a Bible. You won't sit down. You won't read. You won't study. You'll go to church. You won't even bother to take your Bible when you go. Well, then, no wonder there's no harvest in your field, because if there's no Word of God and you're not feeding on the Word of God, you have no ability to produce. And that's what's gone wrong. Lazy. Too lazy to study. Too lazy to read. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you read through that Bible that you own cover to cover? And I'm not asking you to boast, and I'm not asking you to report to me on it. Ask yourself the question. In all the years that you've lived as a Christian, how many times have you gone through that Bible cover to cover? Do you know that I know Christians that have been saved 20 years and have not yet gone through that Bible the first time cover to cover? That's incredible. You know what that is? That's laziness. And that vineyard's not going to produce. That field's not going to produce. Too lazy. What else? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, 25, what does it say? It says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. You know what's going wrong with the church? Quit working. I mean, quit working on and quit laboring in the harvest. There's lots of program work going on. Lots of that, man. You see those folks in church, they're doing all kinds of things to build their programs and all that stuff. But there's not much work going on in the harvest. What's happened? Lazy. It's easy to work on a program by comparison to witnessing. And so they've gotten lazy. Churches and Christians alike. Started serving money, quit feeding on the Word of God, quit laboring in the harvest. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. What else has gone wrong? The slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Quit, you know, the lion is a picture of the devil, and the street is anything outside of your house or your church. You know what's happened to the slothful, lazy Christians? They have quit publicly ministering the words of God, and they've quit fighting the enemy, the lion, the devil, out in the streets. That's right. You know, you'll find a lot of lifestyle Christians these days, but you won't find many that'll publicly minister the words of God. And there are a lot of ways to do that. We recently had a broadcast about that, so I don't have to cover that ground too much anymore like we did before, but passing out tracts and witnessing publicly and witnessing in your workplace and witnessing to your neighbors and standing on a street corner and cupping your hand to your mouth like that and proclaiming the words of God publicly, putting a bumper sticker on your car, a scripture sign in your yard. I mean, what's happened? Well, they got kind of lazy. They got slothful and said, I don't want to go out there. That's hard work. There's a lion in the streets. The devil might do something to me. Well, then what you've done is you've simply sat down, and now the devil doesn't have to fight because there's no war going on. Paul gave us the whole armor of God in order to enter into a fight, and what are you doing with it? Huh? What are you doing with it? God has given you the whole armor of God, and you're not in the fight. Look at one other verse, Proverbs 26, verse 14. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You know what happened to Christians? Quit getting out of bed. Got lazy. Got ease in Zion. Too many creature comforts. And the creature comforts have become very good. So what's the problem? The problem simply is this. This man here with this vineyard and this field all grown over became a slothful man. And that's how his field and his vineyard got in such a state of disrepair. And in Christianity, God said at this point in time before his return, we are poor, though we appear rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And the slothfulness that has infected the church is, now the church is serving money. Now the people are no longer feeding on the Word of God. They're feeding on entertainment. They quit laboring in the harvest. They're glad to work on their programs. Quit publicly ministering the gospel and quit fighting the enemy and quit getting out of bed. I mean, you know, it's an easy society now. All right, now what's the second thing that went wrong with this slothful man in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30, this text that we're studying today? What's his second area of trouble that pictures the trouble that we're in the church today? It's the second half of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man, watch it, void of understanding. Now, we've already touched on this about the man quit feeding on the Word of God, but you know what? He got out of his Bible. Listen, if you put that Bible down, you will be void of understanding, and you won't be able to see your true condition in God's eyes. There are lots of churches today that are glamorous, they are wealthy, they are huge, and God is just not in the work. Oh, he's spoken of often, and many people profess that God's doing the thing, but you know what the trouble is? The people don't understand. Void of understanding. You can get busy, but your vineyard and your field are going to look like this guy's vineyard and field if that word is not being preached. Now, the Lord's been awfully good to us. We've seen him do some marvelous things. But I tell people and I'll tell you that what's going on here is the result of one thing. It's the result of that Bible right there out of which I'm preaching right now. And in all the years of the ministry, I have found that it is more complicated in some respects now than it was when it was just a small little thing. There are more people to look after. There are more concerns. There's you got to be very careful these days. And you know what? I've also found that it's easy to get so organized and have so many responsibilities that the prayer life and the Bible reading life can just simply go by the wayside. And so the extra effort has to be made to stay in Bible reading and study and to stay in prayer and stay in the ministry of the Word. The church in Acts saw that problem. In Acts chapter 4, there were many more concerns in the church than there had been when it first got started, like the daily ministering to the widows. And those apostles said to the people, said, you get some men together and y'all take care of it. Why? Because he said, we've got to give ourselves continually to the ministry of the Word and to prayer. And when people start setting that book down, getting out of that book, then you know what's going to happen. You're going to lose your understanding. When you lose your understanding, you're going to look with your eyes. We walk by faith, but you're going to look with your sight around you, and you're going to say, man, boy, I'll tell you what, this ministry is doing so well. Look how God's blessed this. And you're not going to understand that that all came by other means than by what God was trying to do in the harvest with you. What's the third problem with this fellow? Well, he got into sin. Notice in verse 31 that his vineyard was grown over with thorns and nettles. Thorns and nettles are here because of the curse. And so the picture that you see is the picture of the effect in this man's vineyard and in this man's field from sin. And you know, Paul spent a great deal of time preaching on sin and preaching the sin out of people in congregations. And I'll tell you honestly, if you let those secret sins creep up in your life like a creeping thorny vine, they will destroy your harvest. They will destroy your harvest. You know, when you look in the parable of the sower of the seed, the third place where the seed was planted, all right, was on a stony ground and it was shallow. Then the next one went in among the thorns. Remember that? All right, and then it sprang up, but it could not continue to bring forth fruit. Why? Because the thorns that were sucking the life out of the vegetation were the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in. You see that? The lust of other things entering in, the deceitfulness of riches, my, how God has blessed us, and the cares of this world, just all those items that you have to tend to every single day of your life, they absolutely grow up around the harvest as thorns and will literally suck the life out of your harvest. Now, sin has crept into the churches, and the harvest is dwindling. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in have entered into the churches. People are after the entertainment. They are after the wealth. They are very concerned with the things of this world. The church is very worldly today. And you know what it looks like in God's eyes? It doesn't look like the big glitz and glamour $30 million type outfit or $150 million plant or whatever that you've got there. It doesn't look like that to God. You know what it looks like to God? It looks like a busted down, slothful, ridden farming operation. But it's hard to see that. Now, let me be sure of something so that you don't misunderstand. Just because a work is big and successful and has a lot of money does not necessarily mean that this type of slothfulness has come into it, okay? And I don't believe that. But I'll tell you, much of the big work that you see in the church today is plagued with this problem. And you know it because you hear it preached from the pulpit. The fourth thing that went wrong with this guy's vineyard in his field is that he let the stone wall fall down. Look what he says there. The stone wall thereof was broken down, verse 31. Well, when the stone wall gets broken down, guess what gets in there? All the beasts of the field that trample down the harvest and then get in there and eat all of the fruit before it comes to full fruition. So the harvest is shot and there's nothing left. Well, you know what that stone wall pictures? That stone wall pictures the wall of separation between the world and the church. You let the world into your home, and that world will destroy your family. I remember a preacher going on visitation one night, and he came up to an apartment on the second floor of an apartment complex, got ready to knock on the door, and just as soon as he brought his knuckles up there, the door opened, and it shocked him, and the husband was coming out of the house in a rage, holding a television. And he walked to that balcony and threw that television over the balcony, turned around and said, sorry about that. I didn't know you were standing there. He said, can I help you? He said, yeah, I'm a preacher from the church here. I've come to visit with you. He said, well, good. Come on in. We need you. He said, what was that all about? Was that thing broken or something? He said, no, that what was broken was my family. That TV was destroying my family, and I've thrown it out of my house. We're ready to do something for the Lord. This thing, I can't go on like this. You know what he did? He put up a wall of separation for his family between the world and the church. You let that world into your home, and you will see the effects of it as it grows up thorns and nettles all around your children. And if the pastor lets the world into his church, you're going to see that the harvest is shot through and through. He may have people walk in the aisles every Sunday to join that church, but I'm going to tell you what, the condition of the souls of those men in that church, many of them are going to be lost. And you say, how do you know that? Personal experience. Personal experience, interviews of talking to folks that have been caught up in a situation like that, and friends of mine that have talked to people that have been caught up in a situation like that, and they talked to a number of people who were there, and they got in on the show, but they didn't get on Jesus and didn't get saved. And you know what the trouble is? No one can see it. But you got a picture of it here in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 39, to show you exactly what the condition is. Laziness. Void of understanding because the Bible's been put down. Nettles and thorns with the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in. And the stone wall down so that the beast, type of the devil, can trample that harvest and there's nothing to stop them. Listen, that Bible says about us, we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Lord said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you can hardly tell the difference today between the world and the church. Now, the fifth problem this guy is, he fell asleep. Verse 30, 3, yet a little sleep, didn't take much, a little slumber, not much, a little folding of the hands to sleep, just a little bit. You read Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and the cross references that go with that verse, there's four of them. Ephesians 5:14 is one of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 is another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 is the other one. Paul's admonition is to wake up. You've been lulled to sleep. Doesn't take much, just a little sleep, just a little folding of the hands. And, you know, you say, well, and that's really messed up the harvest? Yeah, no kidding. You can't stay in church for more than an hour without getting fidgety. And you start looking for that bed of ease. Man, you are worrying about your clock, and you're ready to get out, and you're ready to go eat. Now, I remember that very, very thing right there infecting a church not so many years ago. The fellas in there just said, man, we can't do this anymore, and pressured the preacher to quit preaching by noon so they could get out of there and get back to the house. They didn't want a church service that lasted more than an hour. They didn't want preaching that lasted more than 30 minutes. Why? Fidgety. Why? Lazy. Just a little bit of slumber. Just a little bit of sleep. It's all it takes, just a little more than you need, and then what do you get? Paul said, wake up. Wake up. Now, Solomon, in his wisdom, in verse 32, saw and considered well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Well, you ought to look upon your own life, and you ought to look upon the life of your church, and if you find that laziness has infected that thing, then you need to wake up. If you find that the Bible has been put down, and it's like third or fourth fiddle now, you better watch out. You see that the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entered in and swarmed that harvest with nettles and thorns, and people hadn't been saved there in a long time, and that wall of separation is gone, you got a problem. An infected church, infected with the laziness of Laodicea. And you need to start praying to wake it up, or go find you a place that is awake. That's a bad deal, and I'll tell you, if it's happened in your own house, you need to make some changes before you find that you have no harvest left.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.